It's our school of prayer. What we are doing is getting into a new habit. You know, something happened today. I was, nothing happened really, just that I was driving and I observed something, not a big deal, a church being built. And I noticed that, I won't tell you which kind of church, which denomination or anything, but something came to my mind, and that's the fact that anytime, you know, maybe people settle somewhere new, all right? People quickly go and build their church. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Like, this was in UNTH, actually. I was driving out. I just looked. I saw one big signboard. So I looked at, where's the signboard? Where's that? And I saw the building being constructed somewhere nearby. And then I began to meditate. Now, it may sound like a good thing, but the truth is that we have not yet formed the habit of Christianity. What I mean is this. In real Christianity, once you and I show up, I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Once you and I show up, a church is established. It has nothing to do with the building. Nothing. Nothing at all. I'm not saying building is bad, though. Did I say that? I mean, if this building wasn't here, okay, the mango tree down there may have saved. But that wouldn't have been ideal. But I'm not looking at an issue here. We tend to look at it with a lot of reverence. That is the house of God, you know? But let me say it to you again. You know the house of God? Can you look around? Yeah. If you can see many houses of God, say amen.
Amen.
All right, if you are the house of God, say amen.
Amen.
And as a matter of fact, that is what the house of God is. It is you and it is me. So as I was driving, I was just meditating about it again. And I said, this is a mistake we make as Christians. You know, people still get up, they want to go to church to go and pray. Now, when you go to church to go and pray, it's just good you go to a quiet place. If you have a good backyard, you know, that has trees where you can disappear into, it is as good as any church in praying. It's very interesting that I have to say this. I used to think everybody knew it, but these days, you know, I'm getting to learn many things that many people don't actually know it. All right? I'm not going to talk about this habit again. So today I was just thinking about it. I said, no, Christians must learn what is right. The building is good. I have nothing against the building. I won't even tell you which denomination. It is just that it made me think again that we often forget that the church of God is this. It is you. You, literally, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is why, you know, anything you say with your mouth, you know, you are the priest of God. You're always offering up sacrifices. Be careful that you are not offering sacrifices to the wrong people, though. Did you get that? But do you understand it? This is a temple walking around. Make sure your sacrifices are always correct and it's in the right direction. Because everything you say with your word, with your mouth, all right, you're offering something. You're offering something. And if you continue to speak negatively, you're actually offering something. I thought about it recently. Listen to this. This will surprise you. Like Derek Prince would say, I'm just feeling around. I'm not very 100%. I don't want to say certain. Anyway, let me just explain this. Now, I was thinking about the other day. Do you know, as far as this earth is concerned, now listen to what I want to say. As far as this earth is concerned, we decide who is stronger, either God or the devil. That is, you and I decide. Say, but God is all-powerful. I've read the Bible enough. He's only all-powerful to destroy on this earth. When all of you have frustrated him, he will now use his power and wipe everybody out. I have noticed that thing. Take your time, study it. God's all-powerfulness does not force anybody to be blessed. God, that is, if all of us gather and say Satan will have first hand in this country, he will, and God can't do anything about it. If he wants to do something different, he has to consciously send people in that will come and say something different. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Yes, he has to send people in to go and say something different, therefore empowering him. Yes. What I'm saying, I mean it. If everybody cooperates with Satan, you know what? The power of God, yes, it's real. You're right. He's all powerful. He owns the heavens and the earth. You know what he does? He wipes everybody there away. That is the one Satan can't stop him. Satan can say, no, they are serving me well. They are serving me well. Let me show you something. Is that seeing tsunamis, hurricanes, you know, earthquakes, fires? volcanic eruptions. God will release all of them in one day and remove everybody. That one, nobody can stop him. Nobody can stop that one. Satan can't, you can't pray enough. That is, people on earth can't agree enough. Whatsoever we shall bind, we bind destruction, it won't come to us. When we are not serving God, forget it. That one is coming. But let's not emphasize on that destruction. Let's not emphasize on his judgment. What I want to emphasize is the fact that when it comes to bringing good or setting order in places, the power of God is just as much as we allow him to have. You know why? Because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. He does what he likes in the heavens. The earth he has given to the sons of men. If they don't handle it well, the only thing he can do is broom, and sweep them all away completely. So if we want the earth to be preserved, what does he do? He puts the salt of the earth in there. And when they do what they are supposed to do, that is what brings the preservation power of God into the place. I don't know what I hear what I said. If you understood the same.
Amen.
All right. Okay, so now why did I bring that one up? I'm just going to emphasize the fact that you and I are important. And it is important that we learn what is right to do. They came to the Lord Jesus and said, teach us to pray. It is important we form the right habits of prayer. It is important, you know, for me, this issue of fasting, which I talked about briefly last time, maybe I'll take another time, so later on, one of these days, very soon, I will have to discuss it again, why it is important and what a true Christian fast is, okay? It is important we know what is right to do. It is important we do it. If we're on this earth, now it's our duty, it's our responsibility to ensure that things are set in order on this earth by our prayer. We don't just sit down, observe things, and do nothing. The reason is this. If we don't do anything, literally, God can't do anything. That's just the way it is. What did I say? Let's start from the beginning. If we don't do anything, God can't do anything. That's the way it is. It is not as if we will get up and go and stand on the road and say, nobody will steal here. Yes, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm saying that we have to, in prayer, you know, we're talking about what my friend called the agents of darkness, all right, trying to invade the East and all of that. You and I can stop it. Do you get my point? It's not as if we'll go there and go and buy guns and go and buy metal detectors and bomb detectors and sniffer dogs. No, we just pray about things. That's what I mean by doing something. Now, let's continue what I began to teach last time, talking about why God answers our prayers. It's important, I was saying, to form a prayer habit. Why I brought up that issue at the beginning about church being built and all of that is that I wanted to explain something. That we are the temple of God, and what we do continually is actually done in the worship of God. It's not just when we get to a building. It's not when we get somewhere and say, let us go to church. You are the temple of God. As you move around, that's the temple of God moving around. So you must learn how to offer the appropriate sacrifices. You must learn how to offer the appropriate words as a matter of habit. As a matter of habit. I have listened to many preachers, you know. Like I told you, I'll come to this fasting matter later. Ken Hagin said something that he used to take time out to fast 2 days a week. And he made a lot of progress. Then one day the Holy Spirit said to him that in simple terms, this is your fasting, I'm tired of it. Now, he didn't say it like that. I'm the one using these words. All right? He said, but the Lord said to him that, look, I'd rather you do something else. What? That why don't you live a fasted life rather than just choosing these 2 days? And they formed a new habit and abandoned this, let me go on 2-3 days fast. And I began to live what he calls a fasted life. Let me summarize it in my own terms, in my own words. Is I living a more disciplined life? Do you understand? Yes, because you see, I believe what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell him that if you think that this you're going hungry is what I'm looking for, no, not at all. I want you to live a constant life of discipline. Be disciplined all the time. Be restrained in the things that you do. And very importantly, we'll talk about it again when we come to this Christian fasting thing. Very importantly, take time out to wait on God. Not wait on God as if you say, personally, I've had my own. For every different people, it may work differently. But for me, what you talk about wait on God is not to just sit down and quieting your spirit and just wait like this. Look, you're not a Buddhist. Amen? You're not doing yoga. In a yoga, you do. No, for me, waiting on God is the way it works is just focus on the word of God. Pray, request. Listen, this is just me. Some people will disagree with this, but I wish they would stand with me and let us discuss. I don't believe Christians should tune their ears to hear anything. I said we shouldn't listen. Like, keep on saying, God is not stupid. Amen? The Holy Spirit is not. Once you have a heart that attends to Him, do you understand? Constantly. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to get your attention. He does. Samuel was sleeping, did not know anything about any God speaking to anybody. Just knew there's a God in Israel who will serve in this temple or in this tabernacle, whatever they were using. And then the Holy Spirit, when he wanted to talk to him, shouted his name loud. So loud, the fellow thought somebody was calling him. And there was nobody else inside that segment of the building. It had to be Eli. So he ran and said, "Oga, you are calling me." The man said, "I didn't call you." Okay, maybe you're imagining things. The boy went back to lie down. And this happened a number of times until Eli now deduced that, no, maybe God wants to talk to this man, young man. Go back and lie down. And if he calls again, the fellow you thought was me, say to him simply, "Speak, your servant is listening." God knew how to get his attention. God set a bush on fire to get the attention of Moses. Do you get my point? What God is looking for, most importantly, is a heart attitude that is not beaten down with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and all the worries running up and down. So when you're taking time out to wait on God, it's not to lie down there and say, because when I was in school, you see, this teaching was prominent that time. So we heard all kinds of God told me. And I still hear it to today. They have been dreaming of eating a kind of food for some weeks, but they haven't had it. Then one morning, say, "God said I should eat this one this morning." And you know that, you see, a man has an appetite, a craving for something, is blaming God. And we saw all kinds of things. You form a funny image in your heart concerning one who kind of woman you like to marry. The first person you see like that, say, "God said to me," and we can't answer you anymore because it's God that talked. What you are doing is obviously very foolish. It's foolish to me, to you, to God, to the angels, to everybody. But we can't tell you because God said to you. And then, when it doesn't work out, there's a way we used to do, all of us just nicely ignore that you said it in the past. Our illustrative sister Angie has now married Brother Michael somewhere. And you feel like pinching your bro, say, "Oh boy, what happened? God didn't come for this wedding or what?" You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to emphasize something. Forget tuning this your ears. What you can do is, the only way you can tune your ears, let me explain it properly, is by changing your heart with the word of God. Do you understand my point? Yes, some people say that if you are not quiet in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is very gentle. He's deep inside. He can't talk to you. When the Holy Spirit can't talk to you, it's when you are difficult, you are rebellious. Look, Holy Spirit knows how to talk. It doesn't always say it whispers out of your spirit. That is not in the Bible. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't talk like that. I'm just saying it's not in the Bible. How does he talk? Different ways. When he knew Peter, who don't hear, to go to the house of a Gentile, said, "Don't worry. It's bad upbringing. We'll help him." No, God knows when it's not your fault. I don't know what I'm saying. Yes, he knows. He said he's mindful that we are but flesh. So sometimes he knows it's not your fault. He knows you're a Jew. He said, "That guy not a Jew, man. Don't worry about it." Say, "Jew, man." He will never go to the house of a Gentile. With all the years Jesus spoke with him, his ears, so what do we do? Let's show him a great sight. So he rendered him hungry, took him to the top of the house, and he began to see visions. God had to work miracles. Do you know, when Peter came back from the house of Cornelius, people said, "What? How could you?" He had to tell them the story. He said, "It's not my fault, though. It's a vision." Because they were all Jew people. You know what I'm saying? They are Jews. I don't mean Jew men in that sense. I just mean that they were Jews. So God knew it was not his fault. It's just how he was brought up. So the Lord intervened with a mighty revelation, a vision, a trance. And you're engaged, you see stomach begin to grow. It's not you, you are sure. And what happened? Auntie Mary, "It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit." If you, even today, if you still believe that something is wrong with you, even after the story of Jesus Christ, if you believe it today, I know something is wrong with you. So it was normal that Joseph did not believe. Do you understand my point? Woman, you begin to get pregnant, telling the Holy Spirit. We know different ways of getting pregnant. Holy Spirit is not one of them. But God knew, knowing that the woman wasn't telling lies, had to send an angel. Brother Joseph, come, let me talk to you. She was not lying. The angel had to appear to him. What am I trying to say? God knows how to get your attention. Do you understand my point? You have gone to lie down for the last week. The Lord speak to him. There are things he doesn't want to talk about. You can't force him to talk about it. You go and see one 18-year-old boy supposed to be passing his work in school. He said, God, speak to me. Who am I going to marry? He just, I'm going to say, me? Talk to you about who you are going to marry. There are many people are asking, those who were in school, ask, you know, it will happen as a young guy on campus, you know. Ah, why not? You go pray that kind of prayer. And God himself doesn't know how to say to you, nobody. So you start seeing visions. Suddenly you wake up in the morning. Is this sister? The Lord is good. Next day you wake up, she's not there anymore. You sleep again. You see another vision. No, I didn't see any vision. Trust me, I've never been a vision man. But people were seeing all kinds of things. You know why? God didn't want to talk. The wife you wanted, you are going to marry. She's not even here. That is, you can't see her yet. Unless, in fact, so what God will do for you, just create confusion in your life. And that will help you a lot. Amen? You wonder what I'm talking about? God knows how to do it. Yes, okay. Go and like that sister. The Holy Spirit does it too. You're going to fellowship. You'll be helping her carry her back. And God said, good. Keep him busy. She'll break his heart. Don't worry. The Lord knows that. He said, keep him busy. The angel said, Lord, what's your problem? Keep the guy busy. Make sure he likes that girl a lot. So she's going, ah! So, remember our sister Angie? Ah, Sister Angela, how are you? Fine. Can I carry your bag? No problem. Carry it. In fact, please, can you come to my room tomorrow morning? Can you help me? There's my assignment I need to do. What can I be a photocopy? No problem. It's the will of God. You run up and down like this. God says, tell the angels, make sure he's on that job for 2 years. Her bed it by her card. Present. Good. Just keep him busy. Then one day, he'll not come with his real proposal. The sister will say, let me pray about it. And then just will say, they'll go to that lady. Anytime she wants to pray, blow in her face. She can't pray properly. That's once he wants to mention her, Brother Ambrose that's asking me to marry him. You'll blow in her face. She can't hear well. She can't. It's confusion. The brother will be coming half out with my answer now. 6 months. I'm still praying. Anytime I want to pray, it's fuzzy. It's fuzzy. After 1 year, when the angels now said, okay, fine. God said, okay, good. Release him from his bondage. Now he's been on the project for 2 years. Suddenly it become clear. The lady will just look and say, I'm sorry. I can't. Ah. The Lord said, I knew she was going to break his heart, but he had to keep him busy. You know, he has not prayed about prayer partner for 2 years. Married partner for 2 years. He's been busy on this bad project. We knew the project wasn't going anywhere. Since he wanted to hear by force, we had to keep him busy. The Lord is good, though. All things work together for good. I'm telling you, if you know how God works, he'll keep you in a distracted zone, you know, like you at least. When the lady has been breaking his heart, boom! The thing hit the floor. The angels will gather it together. Don't worry, it shall be well. And I say, in fact, if I'm not even going to marry again, they say, oh, well. Praise God. Not because they agree with him, but that's how he's thinking now. They keep him in that thinking zone for under 3 years. Finally, when the time is ripe, you go for a seminar. And the angels are waiting. You hear one word. And the usher that says, please sit down here. And the guy will suddenly, yes, I see the Lord. You know that kind of am I talking to somebody? I have a feeling, I've got a feeling. I'm talking to somebody in the house tonight. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why did I go into that? You can't force God to say anything. That's what I'm saying. You can't. What you can just simply do, when we're talking about waiting, we'll talk about it later, all right, is to wait on him in learning. For me, personal issue is, just continue reading, studying. Then think. Just start planning like a normal person. Do you understand my point? If you're supposed to plan your business, start thinking, how much we used to start? God bless this thing. Or give us understanding. Give us direction. Be praying. All this, let me tune my ear. Does he want to talk now? Leave it. It's not part of the thing you're supposed to do. If he wants to see anything, he will see anything. Are you getting my point? It's not like, nah, he's talking now. Let me now. When God wants to talk, he knows how to interrupt all those things. Once your heart is tuned to learn, are you getting my point? Your heart is tuned to hear truth. Your heart is tuned, fine-tuned with his word. Most of the reason why God cannot talk is because you have blocked him with too many things. Let's talk about this marriage thing as an example also. In your heart, you are praying. As far as you are concerned, if that guy or that woman doesn't come from this area, he's not God. And you don't say it, but it's there. Pray from now to tomorrow, obstruction. You can't hear anything. Everything is blocked. Until you go for a seminar in which somebody like me is sent to go and tell you, come on, there's no division. When you hear that suddenly, dangers can break through and say, yes, this is what the Lord is saying. A walk, God, breakthrough in your mind. You don't know how but you formed it long ago. If I don't go to America or go relocate to Lagos or Abuja or this or that. So anytime you are praying for breakthrough and, God, where should I go? You are saying, God, there are only 5 places to go. Either U.S. as a country or U.K. where there are plenty Nigerians. Or if it's within Nigeria, it is either Lagos, Abuja, or Port Harcourt. You will fast, you know, people will be fasting and praying about things God is not planning to do at all, ever. But why won't the Lord speak? That's another thing. You must understand, he doesn't just talk, just speak. No, he doesn't just speak. You have to be able to hear. Are you getting my point? Because actually the speech is out there. There are some speeches that are already out there. So what he does is that he speaks like you are here this evening, and one day you just start hearing the word of God. And he starts explaining to you, not from the east or the west or from the south, not from the south, cometh exaltation. But God is judge. That is, it's not your environment. Wherever you're hearing things, wherever you are. And that's why you realize that it just only strikes you that for the last 3 months, your friend has been calling you periodically from Ogoja or Lokoja, you know, been calling you. And there's one business we are supposed to do. And he said, look, the only person he knows that can help out this thing will become solid is you. But anytime he says, you don't even hear it. Your ear has been super glued with what the Bible calls strongholds. Super glued. Until that word comes and cracks that super glue out of that place. That is when suddenly you start hearing. Then again, oh, now, so, then now at least you can consider it. Oh, you may not even think he's the Lord. You know, just say, okay, let me go answer my friend. Anywhere we are, we can prosper. We travel there one day. Then one day becomes 1 month. 1 month becomes 1 year. Then 5 years later, you look back. Ah, what happened? Look at how we have prospered. Look at how we have been enlarged. From there, you can now go to anywhere. Of those 5 places you were praying about, you can now go anywhere. The Lord was able to say that simply because he had arranged your heart to be able to hear. And that is why, in this one, pray, shout. I found out that a lot of people, they are very lazy. That's why they pray.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You know, see the way you are seated now to be listening. They can't. What they want is, hey, shala go logo again, hello, blah, 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 blah. Hey, just jump, just keep it. To settle down like this and be listening is hard for some people. To take a book, read it from the beginning to the end, it is impossible for a lot of people. They find it easier to be running around praying. You know, I want to ask some of them sometime, come. What exactly do you say? No, really, I'm going to plant a bug on somebody one day, if the Lord will allow. Just, you know, a microphone. This is your prayer, let me just hear. You've been praying about something for 2 weeks. What have you been saying? I just want to know. No, I'm asking. I'm not criticizing. I'm curious. What have you been saying? Is it, Lord, do it. That one, a CAC kind of prayer. They do it once, it's not been good enough. Oh, Lord, is this matter we're on again? Holy Ghost, this matter. I say, oh, bros. That's not right. You can't be repeating this. It's what the Bible calls vain repetitions. That people think that you'll be heard because of their plenty words. That's what Jesus said. People often make that mistake. I heard one man once. He was talking about, to handle that matter, he prayed for maybe like 2 hours. I'm like, wow, that's nice. Then at the end of the 2 hours, the Holy Spirit now said to him, speak the word. I mean, like, excuse me, sir. You mean you didn't try that one first? I mean, I would have thought that would have been the first thing you tried. That one, it didn't work. That's why you went into the prayer. You mean it took 2 hours for the Holy Spirit to say, don't pray. Speak the word. I don't know whether I get my point. And the testimony would be like, praise the Lord. 2 full hours we were there before we finally broke through. And when we hit that point, we began to declare the word. And like, sir, why didn't you start with that? And if there I heard that, I still remember that message. If there I heard it, because we were instructed. All right? And the way we were instructed was that at such times, speak the word. Do you understand? If I had been in that situation, I'm not doing holier than thou or better than thou. I'm talking based on what we're taught. The first thing that would have come to my mind, if I was the one, was to speak the word. Why? That was how I was trained. That is, I would have done mine in 1 minute. I would have done it 2 minutes and one. And 2 hours and 1 minute. But I've just been in 1 minute. Why? Because before then, we are settled down and we're taught to speak the word. That's what I mean. A lot of Christians, they just won't spend their energy where it is important. My own explanation, my own understanding as of today, is that 90% of what we Christians call prayer points are not supposed to be prayer points. They're not supposed to be thought about. Do you know Jesus banned you as a Christian from going for prayer meetings discussing you need food, you need job, you need wife? Do you know he's banned? You know, outright ban. He said, these are the things that the Gentiles seek. He said, your prayer point should be on how to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. While you are doing that, other things will be added. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? That's what he said. He said that expressly. Jesus banned you from sowing a seed for breakthrough. What do I mean? He said, these are the things that Gentiles seek after. I was reading, was it now? Or, anyway, I was reading my Bible. I got to the issue of Solomon again. I was reading a New Living Translation. Simple grammar, simple modern-day English. And he said that, he said, what do you want me to do for you? Anything you wish, ask, I will do it. And Solomon went and started, you've been very kind to my father. You have given him a name. You've given me a throne. Let me put my own words, and I can't remember it word for word. I don't want to spoil it. those kind of things. These are great people. Please help me to do what is right so that this nation will remain great. God said, no gold, no silver in the prayer point, no long life. What about the life of the enemies? You didn't remember any of these things? Or unless you like this. I will give you what you have asked for, and I give you everything you did not ask for. It struck me that that's exactly what Jesus said in the New Testament. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. You know, we still do prayer meetings on every other thing. Tonight, receive thy wife. Tonight, receive thy husband. And his prayer point. And I mean, the whole night. You will say, all the ancestral, what do they call that thing? Agreements my parents entered into, and generations before me, that said I will not marry, that my wife will not come, that I will not become rich in this life, be broken, begin to break it, begin to break it, begin to break it. I say things that are not popular, but they are true. You know the truth? None of those things are broken by begin to break it. None of those things are broken by begin to break it. Let me say something. Do you realize that just because you say something doesn't mean it has meaning? I'm a university teacher, all right? And students say things once in a while. I will just start laughing. I'll say to them, this is what you have said now. Does it have any meaning to you? I say, does it have any meaning to you? Anything you can't break down and tell a lay person you don't know it? Now that's medicine, right? Do you know in prayer we do the same thing? Open our mouth and say, begin to break. I break it. I break it. And Satan says, come. Break what? The curses. With what? I just break it. Whichever way is broken. You know the reason, the issue? The truth is that Satan knows that there's nothing here. And then to break things that are not present, I don't know that I get my point. That is, you know your main issue? You're walking in ignorance. You're deceived. And you're trying to break something that is not there. Do you understand? And Satan says, okay, go ahead. And you're breaking it. He says, look, there's nothing there. He says, but how come I'm still in bondage? Because you think you're in bondage. Because you think you're in bondage. Somebody will say that after I have four businesses, they all fail. Something must be wrong. No, nothing is wrong. There are three more to start to fail before things begin to work. Because the righteous man, you see what I'm saying? He said, all those things I said that I won't make progress. I break them. He said, oh, God, people have said, you know, can't the spirit sleep in peace? Satan is trying to sleep. People are disturbing. Satan, say, what? I break you. What now? I stopped coming to your house. Everybody is reading the Bible. That's what I mean. People use words. They copy from people. And it now becomes a habit. Oh, my enemies. And listen, you can't just be praying nebulous prayers. Prayers that have no focus, no meaning. You are fighting people that are not there. That's what I mean. Say, I break it. Guys, everybody say, break what? Say, you know what your problem is? Ignorance. Ignorance cannot be broken by shouting. Ignorance is broken by learning. So you want to break this thing? Say, yes, I want to break it. Sit down. Take this book and read. No, I have to go to work. Take this book and read. Tomorrow is my son's birthday. Take this book and read. You know, we have to be in the village every weekend. Go for Bible study and sit down and listen to something. Hey, I have choir practice. That's the one I hear a lot. Take this tape and listen to it. You don't know my children. They are very noisy. You know what you are saying? These are the reasons why I can't break through. I can't prosper. I can't do well. I've accepted it like that. I can't break it. Honestly, my own estimate of it too. I was talking to one brother the other day. He said in his church that he doesn't go for prayer meetings. He goes for every other meeting. Once the prayer meeting, he said he doesn't go. You know his reason? He said, I can't pray those prayer points. So when he says prayer meeting, he will find something to do. Brother X, are you coming for a prayer meeting? I have another meeting with my wife. That he will never go. That everybody, they've gotten used to him. Prayer meeting, that guy is not going to come. Some will interpret that he's not spiritual. But his own is that you call these things prayers. They are not prayers. I told you once I went for a meeting somewhere. It was a meeting for ministers. And at the end of the day, somebody began to pray. So you will say to the devil that the word I'm about to hear today, you will not steal it from my heart. Now remember, I stood like this. Devil, you want to steal it? Come first. God is my witness. That's what came to my mind. I said, devil, want to steal the word from my heart? You smoke something? Well, if you smoke something, when you get here, your eye go clear. Come first. So I was just saying, Father, I thank you. I give thanks in the name of Jesus. I have the spirit of wisdom. Now, my reason, and I remember the way I reasoned it was simple. Jesus said like this. Solomon said like this. He said, pay attention that you may gain understanding. And he said, the ones that the devil stole were those who heard the word and did not understand it. So once I understand it, the word cannot be stolen. So the prayer is not about devil, don't steal. Prayer is, I need what? Understanding. That's it. So if I have to pray any prayer, it's Father God, the word that will come today, give me you've heard me pray, lead that prayer. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Give me understanding. The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. The devil is not my problem. There is another prayer point. Then I went, why is this guy doing like that? Plead the blood over your heart. That today, oh! And I look and say, what's all of this? So after a while, I didn't know the lady beside me had been watching. See, which kind of human being did my size so? So after a while, when there was a break, she poked me a bit. Hello. Yes, ma'am. Which church do you attend normally? Because this was different people came from different places. I can't remember the answer I gave. I've been to many churches, so I don't know the one I was going at that time. So I stood up something, I can't remember what. She now said that what she's asking is, she's noticed that when they are releasing those prayer points, and everybody's, you know, come on, you know, they are into the thing, that I'll just stand and fold my hand like this and be looking. I felt like, madam, I thought all of you were just joking, because I don't believe you guys are really serious about what you're praying about. But, you know, if you say that, they will rebuke you. Ah, better don't say such things. Please, if you're not saying that, not pride. You see, listen, if I go somewhere, do you follow? Okay, let me give an example. One day, some were giving counsel to somebody how to treat, I was at the barber's, you know, how to treat one boy had stuff on his head, you know, how to treat it. The barber was talking. So I began to talk. After a while, I had to shut everybody up. Hey, listen, I'm a doctor. You know, there's a way, when you say that, everybody will keep quiet. Sorry, is it pride?
No.
It's not pride. I had to assert my authority so as to be able to help the person I needed to help.
Yes.
So you know that we're not the same level. I'm telling you what I know. I'm not guessing. I said once in a while, you know, people, you know, you'll be in a public place, people are just talking. No, it's not good to eat carrot. No. When you want to eat, we must not drink water. Hey, don't eat sugar. If you eat sugar, red meat, blue meat, purple meat, all kinds of things. No, after a while, I say, look, guys, please, excuse me. I give them information. They want to, after a while, I have to pause. You know, the one in front is a lawyer, the other one is a businessman, the one before, you know. And I say, wait. I'm a doctor. Do you understand? Okay, doc. Okay. It's not pride. It's just that I have to let them, do you understand? So sometimes it's like that in life. I was talking to that woman. It wasn't like I wasn't being boastful. It's just that. If I didn't know she was going to ask me any question, I was just wondering, what is going on? You call this prayer? It's not. You're shouting. Devil, you won't steal the devil. Say, stop me if you can. Because he knows that if you don't understand it, it's gone, even if I don't come. He said that you won't steal. He said, okay, so I won't steal it, but it will drop. I will just hold my hand like this. Sure, you don't go fight me if the thing drop from my hand by itself.